This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Praise God. Well, this is Healing Sunday. And, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So, we are in a war. I don't know if you know that or not, but we are in a war. But the battle's already won. Amen. Jesus won that battle 2,000 years ago. So if you understand that we already won, then you're just going to stand in the victory. But we do have the devil that will try to tempt us and test us and try us. I'm going to say it again. We have the devil that will try to tempt us, test us, and try us. Amen? Some people think it's God that's tempting us. It's God that's testing us. It's God that's trying us. But I'm gonna, for the record today, it's the devil that comes to tempt and tries to steal, kill, and to destroy. And you'll find that out through my message today. So I'm going to talk about healing today. And the title of my sermon is Keys to Prepare for Your Healing. Now, I've never preached like this before or this particular topic. But, you have to prepare to receive from God. Amen. Think about that. You got to prepare and you got to be ready to receive. A lot of people don't get their healing because they're not prepared to receive their healing. Amen. They may come up and get prayer, but there's things in their life that might be preventing them from receiving what God wants them to have. And so what we need to do is we need to prepare. And really, our entire life is preparation. Amen. Do you know you're preparing for Jesus to come back? Amen. You're here in church today. And, you know, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to prepare you. Amen. I'm going to say it again. I'm not here to please. Some pastors, I hope I'm pleasing the congregation. No, I'm here to prepare you. That means I might say some things that you may not like, but hopefully it prepares you for the coming glory of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to focus on this. This is probably it's a paramount scripture, because you do have people and you have ministers, because we're in what I call the Word of Faith camp, okay, which means we stand on the promises of God's word. We believe that God's word is true. We believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We still believe in miracles. We still believe that God can intervene. We still believe, but there is a body of Christ. There are people in the body of Christ that believe miracles have passed away. They believe that whatever was done back 2,000 years ago cannot be done today. You can only have a doctor that will help you. But I'm going to say this. There is a Dr. Jesus, and he's called the Great Physician. And he can help you better than some doctors. Because doctors don't have it all. And modern science, medical science, can't fix it all. But God can fix it all. I'm going to say it again. God can fix it all. Now, doctors are good and they have a place. And thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. Thank God for hospitals. Some of us would be dead without them. Until we build our faith up and start standing on the Word of God, we need doctors. We need nurses. We need it. Amen. We might need some medication, but I'd say meditation might be a little bit better. So focus on this, because I'm going somewhere this morning. Amen. Just track with me. In 3 John 1:2, because I'm going to say this. Some people say, well, the gospel is not a health and wealth gospel. And I would say, I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because the gospel, it's called good news. And if it's good news, then if I'm saved, what am I saved from? Well, I'm saved from eternal death. I'm saved from poverty. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So my gospel is, there are a lot of wealthy people in the Bible. So you can't discount wealth, amen. Just don't put your trust in it. Put your trust in God. And then it's a health gospel because Jesus paid the price for us to be healthy. So for people to say, for preachers to say, it's not a wealth and health, man, they must be broke, busted, and disgusted preachers. And can't be trusted. I like that. And can't be trusted. Why? Because they're not given the full counsel of God's word. So I'm going to give you the full counsel of God's word. I'm going to give you scriptural basis that will reveal truth that God wants you healed. He wants you whole, sound, delivered, set free. He wants you prosperous. Amen. So in 3 John 2, this is the Apostle John. And now, if you think about apostles, if you think about who's the closest apostle to the Lord, I mean, some would say probably the Apostle Paul. But who is really close to Jesus? Who walked with Jesus? Who was the apostle that said Jesus loved him the most? That was the Apostle John. So John had a revelation. John had a revelation of God's love, right? He understood God's love. If you study out 1 John, you'll find that John, the Apostle John, talks about the love of God all through the letter. So it's about love. Amen? Would you agree with me? And so if it's about love, and if God loves us, he's going to want to bless us. If you love your children, you want to bless them. Is that right? You don't want to hold anything back from them. You want to bless them. So what does God want to bless you with? Health. He wants to bless you with wealth. Amen. He wants to bless you with wisdom. Amen. So I love this. And so I would say that, and then we know that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and wrote the one of the best books in the Bible, amen, revealing all this truths about end times. And so John probably knew what he was talking about. So when he wrote this, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says here in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things. Now let's just stop here. He's saying, I wish above all things. Above all things? You mean above everything else? Yeah, he's saying above everything else, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I love that. So he's saying here that he wish or he prays above all that you may prosper. That means financially, materially, and that you may be in health, even as your soul prospers. So don't get mad at me and don't say that I'm a preacher of wealth and health and that's against the word, because you would have to say John's against the word. And John's not against the word. He's saying, may you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen? So I believe that God wants us prospering in two realms, materially as well as physically. Can I get an amen here? So you can say that God wants his people to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. Do you believe that? Do you believe he wants his people to be wealthy, healthy, and wise? Why? Because he wants to show us off. We may come in broke, busted, and disgusted, but we should come out healthy, wealthy, and wise. We might start off broke, busted, and disgusted, but we should come out healthy, wealthy, and wise. Can I get an amen here? I mean, can I? I'm getting some amens here. I'm glad I'm preaching to a believing church. Amen. I'm sure God's not into poverty. I mean, you think God wants people starving to death? No, 1,000 times no. God's not into sickness. He's not into that. He's into healing. Glory to God. And say, I believe that. Amen. I believe that. Amen. So we got to believe that God wants us wealthy and healthy. And it comes through what Jesus paid for on the cross. And you have to understand your covenant rights. Somebody say, I have rights. See, you got covenant rights. You see, when they were trying to whip Paul at one time, he was taken into custody. And they were stretching him out, ready to whip him. And he said, I'm a Roman citizen. And when he said, I'm a Roman citizen, they stopped. Like, oh my, Roman citizens have rights. And they said, you are a Roman citizen? Did you buy your citizenship? Because the guy that was about ready to whip him bought his citizenship. You could buy your citizenship. He said, no, I was born a citizen. I'm going to say something to you this morning. You're reborn to be a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. You're reborn to be a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
Amen. Not of incorruptible seed. Amen. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Amen. Which is the word of God that abides and lives forever. Glory to God. Now let's look at this because it is a health and wealth gospel. Praise God. That means it's the good news. And in Galatians 3:13 and 14, let's just look at this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing, underline that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now when you see this and you read this, it says that you might. If you might receive, you might not receive. So how do you receive? You gotta receive the truth that Jesus paid the price for your healing, for your prosperity. You gotta believe it. Say, I believe it. To receive, you must believe. You must believe that. Amen? So Abraham, it says here to receive the blessings of Abraham. And when you think about Abraham, Abraham was wealthy, he was healthy, and he had a relationship with God. So what does the covenant gives us? It gives us a relationship with God. It gives us healed bodies. It gives us full bank accounts.
Amen.
Amen. Did not God say to Abraham, I will bless you? So why? Why will God bless Abraham? So he could be a blessing.
Amen.
So why would God bless you?
To be a blessing.
So if your heart is not to be a blessing, I'm not too sure if you're going to see the... Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. If your heart is not to be a blessing, then you may not receive a blessing. Because God blesses those that bless others.
Amen.
So God is in the blessing business, and he wants to bless others through us. Do you believe that today? So Abraham walked in the blessings of God. And we know this, that Abraham asked God, when God told him that you were going to have a child, Abraham said, how do I know that I'm going to have a child? And then God said, I'm going to cut covenant with you. And so God had Abraham cut animals in half, and actually God walked through those animals in a figure eight. Amen? And he cut, actually God cut covenant with himself through that sacrifice on our behalf. And he did it for Abraham. Abraham had to believe that. And so our covenant is based on the blood of Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled that covenant by going to the cross and shedding his blood. And now we have a covenant. See, I have a covenant. So that covenant, the main covenant I want to talk about is not prosperity today, which is part of the covenant. But I want to talk about that we have a covenant of healing. And we can partake of that. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in divine health. And that divine health, to walk in that divine health, we must prepare ourselves to receive the blessings. In other words, you got to get ready to receive the promises of God in your life. Think about this. Is anybody watching the Olympics out here? Okay. And the Olympics, you think about it, I believe it's every 4 years. And these athletes, what they do is they prepare for years. 4 years through the rain, through all this, all these athletes are doing all this hard stuff. And then they come out and they look like they're doing perfect competition. I mean, they're doing it perfectly. Why? Because they practice and they prepared. and then they get the gold. What I'm saying to you this morning, you are preparing, you are practicing the word, and you're going to get the gold medal of health. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? God is bringing us in a preparation place to receive his goodness, his healing power in our lives. Amen? Here are some keys to healing. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is powerful. It says here, if my people... How many people are here are God's people? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. So pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So we see here that if we're going to get the healing power of God, if we're going to, we got first and foremost, we must humble ourselves. How do you humble yourselves? You get yourself under God's word. You get yourself in church. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself. You get yourself in a place of prayer. Amen. You start seeking God's face instead of seeking God's hand. And if you seek his face, you will have what's in his hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And we need to be seeking God's face. In other words, let's seek a relationship with him. Let's not just seek the blessing, seek the blesser. And when we're seeking the blesser, guess what happens? The blessing comes. If we're running after the blessing, we may not have the blessing come that quick. Amen. In other words, God wants us turning to him. Seek his face. And then he says here, turn from your wicked ways. There's areas in our life where we may need to adjust or get right with God. And I'm telling you, when God's word said something to us, or when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about changing, we need to change. And God will give us the power to change. Do you believe that today? His grace will empower us to change. So we're talking about prospering in our health this morning. And so he talks about here, let's just read it again, because there's a connection here. And I want you to get it this morning. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, the connection here for you to prosper in your health and your finances, your soul has to be prospering. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You must have soul prosperity. And so soul prosperity is the key. So my question for you, is your soul prospering in God today? Are you walking in what I call soul prosperity? Amen. And so, listen, your soul is made up of three things. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. We're made in the image of God. God is a triune being. God is God the Father, God is God the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit, three in one. So God's essence is what we call Trinity or tri-unity. And so we have to understand God's nature. Now you got to understand your nature and how you're made. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. And when you understand how all this works, then you'll be able to receive more from God. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this way, because some people used to preach God's saving souls, and in a sense he is, but he's really, he when people receive Jesus, they get new hearts. You get a new spirit. Glory to God. And so I love this. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's interesting that Paul, you know, It says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless. So what am I saying to you this morning? We got to make sure everything is in line. We got our spirit's in line when we receive Jesus. Amen. Because if you don't have Jesus, you have a fallen spirit. Amen. And then your soul has to get in line. Amen. Your mind and your emotions have to get in line. Amen. So in Ezekiel, it says a new heart, Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of you, of flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Amen. I'm going to say this, that your spirit is brand new and it's perfect in God. Amen. But there's other areas that we got to get corrected to be able to receive more from God. So our mind, will, and emotions must be prepared to receive healing and the grace gifts of God in our lives. We must, first of all, our soul is made up, first of all, of our mind. Amen. So we must prepare our mind to receive from God. So I'm going to say this. Just because you receive Jesus and you're saved doesn't mean that your mind is saved. That means that your spirit is saved, but your mind is in a process of renewal, and your mind is in a process of salvation, and hopefully that means you're becoming more like Jesus Christ. You're getting closer to God. You're beginning to think more in line the way God thinks. That's renewing your mind. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So it's a possibility that you can be a saved person and a Christian and still walk like the world. You still can be a saved Christian and still talk like the world. You can still be a saved Christian and act like the world. But it shouldn't be like that. In other words, your mind is the gateway to your heart. I'm going to say it again. Your mind is a gateway to your heart. So that's why you got to guard what you look at, what you listen to. Because it comes in, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, what's in you will come out of you. What's in you? What is in you today? If the Word of God's in you, woo, glory to God, then dunamis power will come out of you. But if you got a bunch of junk in your heart, get the junk out of your trunk, glory to God. If you got a bunch of junk, you've been looking at a bunch of junk stuff, then what's going to come out? Junk. Junk. Amen. And garbage in, garbage out. Good things in, good things out. Amen. So we don't want to be conformed to the world. Amen. So we're to receive our healing or to prepare for our healing, we must get the Word of God and make that paramount in our lives. We must renew our minds to the Word of God to prepare for it. Amen. Many Christians are praying for healing. Many Christians are praying for healing. And it's good to pray, but if you don't have any word behind that prayer, your prayer may not count for anything. I'm going somewhere. If you don't have any word with your, you can say, God, heal me, heal me, heal me, and do that 1,000 times, 10,000 times. But if you don't have any scriptures or promises to stand on, then it's just you just, you know, wrote, just saying, God, please heal me. I need healing. I need healing. That won't go too far in God. You got to get the word. Amen? Amen. You got to renew your mind to what I call healing scriptures for you to partake of healing power. In Isaiah 53, this is, if you're believing for healing today and you don't have a healing scripture memorized, then I don't know if you're really truly believing for healing, because you need to have some scripture that you're standing on to believe for deliverance, for sickness in your life. See, I can quote a lot of scriptures, but it's more than quoting. It's good to quote. It's good to memorize, but you got to meditate on the Word of God. You got to meditate, and that's taking the Word of God like a piece of steak and cutting it up in small bite-sized pieces, taking it and chewing it over and over, and then swallowing it and allowing that Word to get into your heart. Amen? And so I love this because it says here, surely Jesus has borne our griefs, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Our griefs in the Hebrew can be also translated sicknesses. So you could actually say it this way, surely he bore our griefs and sicknesses and carried our sorrows. And sorrows in the Hebrew also means pains. So if you study it out, he carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten, God inflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, you gotta look at this. And when you look at this, you know, some people say, well, that's a healing promise. I would have to tell you this. It's a healing fact. A promise a lot of times is something that you're believing that's going to come to pass. A fact, it has already came to pass. Okay, let me break it down to you. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Salvation for you was consummated 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. But that's a fact. The fact in the minds of God, everybody is saved positionally. It's already set in place. It's already paid for, but you got to receive it. So unsaved people, God's not holding salvation from them. He's drawing them by his Spirit, and he's seeing if they're going to open the door when they knock on it, when he knocks on it. And when you open the door, he comes in and you receive Jesus. That salvation wasn't paid for when you received. It was paid for 2,000 years ago. And your healing isn't paid for when you receive. It was paid for 2,000 years ago. So healing is not just a promise. It is a fact in the mind of God. So Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains so that we don't have to. Many are believing for healing, for deliverance, and they have this passage memorized. But I'm going to have to say, keep speaking that word. Maybe you haven't seen it yet, but keep speaking that word over and over again until it comes to pass in your life. Some people say, well, I've said it one time. Isn't that enough? No. Because, you see, you could eat breakfast one time, but one time is not going to do you for the rest of your life. You might need to eat breakfast the following day. And you might need to eat breakfast the day after. Just eating breakfast one time may not suffice. Eating lunch one time, you got to do it over and over. Does anybody ever eat the same thing for breakfast every day? Some people do. Some people love their eggs and all that. It's okay to eat the same thing over and over again. And you still can be healthy eating healthy food over and over again. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying if you can start reading and studying healing scriptures over and over again, you will eventually get what it tells you you can have. In Romans 10, 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we get the Word of God in our life, and as we speak it out loud and hear it out loud, and we continue to hear it, because faith does not come by having heard, it comes by hearing. That's the reason why I preach faith and healing and in health every month. Why? Because we can forget and slip in the things of God. And you need to be reminded. Either I'm giving you a truth you've never heard before, or I'm watering a truth that you already know. Either way, you're getting blessed.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. You're either getting a truth you've never heard, or you're getting a truth that's being watered. And either way, you're getting blessed. So I'm going to say this, that if you're going to get the Word of God in your life, if you're going to get, it's not just praying that's going to do it. You're going to have to get the Word of God in your life. It has to be paramount. I like what it says in Proverbs 4, 20 and 24. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to their flesh. So we see here, he's talking about the Word of God. He's saying, attend to God's Word, incline your ear to His sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. So why? So that you may receive health to your flesh. The Word of God is like medicine to your bodies. Do you believe that today? And it will cause healing to go forth in your body. We had a lady. Her name was Norma Fowler. She used to attend our church many years ago. And she was a powerful prayer warrior. If anybody knew God, Norma Fowler knew God. The pastors that started this church, Joe and Ann, they would go to Norma Fowler at times and say, we have a prayer need. Can you help us pray for this need? She was one of those ladies. She knows God. How many people know some people that know God? Amen? Amen. Pastor David. But anyway, but people that know God, that have a strong prayer life, doesn't mean that they're going to walk in healing. What, Pastor? I thought if you have a strong... Why? Because there's people that have powerful ministries but still die of diseases. Reinhard Bonnke was one of the greatest evangelists ever raised up, won millions of people to the Lord, but died of cancer. Okay? You can preach it, but it's a different... There's a different part of receiving it. Amen. And so you can be a prayer warrior... But you must put the Word of God first place. So she went in for surgery. They opened her up, and she was so bad, they closed her up and said, there's nothing we can do. You have terminal cancer. You know, you got maybe 6 months to live, and we could probably put you through chemo, maybe keep you alive for a year. And she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord told her, take scriptures of God's promises of healing and write them down and start reading them every day. So she was powerful in prayer, but it was the Word of God that did it. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You could be a powerful prayer warrior, but she needed to take the scriptures and meditate instead of medicate. Okay, glory to God. And so she meditated on the Word, and the doctors, and she got healed. She lived many, many more years, and she didn't die in 6 months. She didn't die in a year. She didn't die in 2 years. She didn't die in 3 years. She didn't die in 4 years. She didn't die in 5 years. She lived over 10 years over that. She was in her 70s at that time. Think about that. God's Word works. But are you working the Word? God's Word works, but are you working the Word? So what am I saying? There's some things we can't overcome just by prayer alone. Oh, I'm saying something this morning. You might need the Word of God in your life. You see, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't, and the devil was tempting him in the wilderness. He was fasting. Remember this? He was fasting and the devil came to tempt him. Jesus didn't pray, Father God, do something about this devil. He didn't pray, Father, please get this devil out of my face. He's tempted me. No, Jesus didn't pray. He spoke. Jesus said, it is written. He didn't pray to the Father for the Father to do something about the devil. He spoke, it is written. Amen. So a lot of us, what we're doing is we're trying to pray, God, do something about this symptom. But are you speaking the Word? You're saying, God, please remove this symptom from me. Please remove this from me. Please, please, please. Wait a second. How did Jesus overcome? He spoke the Word. He said, it is written. So how are you going to overcome in your health war, in what the enemy's trying to wage war against your health? You're going to have to overcome, not just by praying alone. I know this. Prayer can do, praying is key, and praying is important. That, yes. But the Word is even more important. Can I say it again? The Word is even more important. We think, oh, if I can just pray. There's lots of people praying, they still die. because they got no word. They're praying on sinking sand. They have no solid foundation that they're standing on. They got no word. If some people say, you know, they were believing for healing. Were they really? Did they have any scriptures they were standing on? Could they quote any scriptures? I remember this was years ago. I was dating this young lady, and she had a report, I think she got a report that she might have a lump in her breast, and she was worried about breast cancer. And so I said to her, "You need to start speaking the word," and she wouldn't do it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me why she wouldn't do it. You know, it's amazing that God will tell you something to help somebody else out. And the reason why you don't speak the word is because you don't want to think about it. And because you don't speak the word, you don't want to think about it. You don't want to think about your circumstance or your situation. You just going to bury it and not think about it. Because if you speak the word, it makes you think about it and makes you nervous. And she almost dropped the phone. Because God uncovered her. And sometimes what we want to do is hide from our symptoms. Oh, it's not there. Faith is not saying something doesn't exist. Faith does not say that. Faith doesn't say, I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. Faith doesn't do that. Faith calls those things that be not as they were. It doesn't deny what you're dealing with. See, some people get faith all mixed up. Faith is denying what you're dealing with, so you don't look at it. You got no money in your bank, but you still keep writing checks. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. You can't deny the fact you got no money in the bank. Well, God, some people pray, God, supernaturally put money in my bank account while I write this check. You bet. Some people do that. Larry said, I tried that once. It doesn't work. No. I have to get on you. But Larry was shaking that. But some people think God can just do a miracle. I write a check, God will do a miracle. You better have money in that bank account, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, you better have word in your heart to be able to partake of the blessing that God has for you. No word, no blessing. And if you got no word in your heart, you can be hoping and praying and believing that God's going to come through and still die of what you're dealing with. You better get some word. Look at your neighbor and say, get some word. Now look at this. It says here in John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Glory to God. There's a good point there. So, Pastor, you're saying to me is that word of God has to be in me. Yes, 1,000 times yes. You're saying to me is I just can't get like a drive-through prayer, like just come on in, just get prayer from you, and then I'm all good. Well, you could get healed, but the devil might come back. And he's going to test you. And a miracle is not always the best thing for people to get. Sometimes the best thing is for you to learn how to stand on God's word and get your healing by learning to stand on God's word than getting a drive-through miracle. Amen. Because a drive-through miracle, you may get your symptom back and the devil's going to always come back at a more opportune time. Jesus won the battle in the wilderness over the devil by speaking the word. He said, it is written. And we're going to overcome the battle in our lives in the area of health or finances by speaking the word. Number one. So number one, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Number two, your soul is your will. Amen. You must have soul prosperity. And so you must line your will up with God's will. Amen. If you're going to walk in healing, you're going to have to line your will up with God's will. And what is God's will? Well, we know in Matthew 8:2-3, it says, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, worship Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we see here that it was Jesus' will to heal the leper, no matter what he did in his life in his past. No matter what sin he committed, It was Jesus' will to heal him. Notice that he didn't get his healing until Jesus said, I will. You're not going to get your healing until you understand that it's God's will for you to be healed. You have to line your will up with God's will. And when you line your will up with God's will, you receive what God has for you. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, the worst prayer you can pray is, God, heal me if it be your will. We already know. And there's preachers out there. Good thing I'm not that kind of preacher. But there's some preachers out there. You go to their church, you go for healing, they may lay hands on you and say, God, heal them if it be your will. Well, there's no faith in that. Because if is always a badge of doubt. If you have if in your prayer, it's a badge of doubt. And doubt you'll do without. So if you have if in your prayer, it's a badge of doubt. Now only let me just say it this way. Jesus said, if this cup could pass me up, let it. Remember, he was praying a prayer. But it was a prayer of consecration.
Yeah.
And that's different from a prayer of faith.
Amen.
A prayer of faith has to be acted on through the Word of God. You can't put an if in a prayer of faith.
Right.
But in a prayer of consecration, you can say, God, do you want me to stay here? You want me to leave? Well, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
God wants you staying. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
That's for anybody in here. Amen. Amen. So Jesus, so your will has something to do with it. If you believe that maybe it's God's will for you to suffer in your sickness, and you believe that it's going to be difficult to receive healing from God, if you believe that maybe in God's thinking and God's way that God's allowing this sickness to be on my life so that he could bring more piety in my life, so he can bring me more closer to him. If you're thinking like that, then you're not going to want to get rid of what the devil has put on you. Why? Because you're coming against, your will is not in line with God's will. His will is for you to heal. In John 5, verse 9, Jesus came to this man that was at the pool of Bethesda. And this man was there because there was an angel that would stir up the water. And then people would go in to get healed. And this man was sick for 38 years. He was an invalid. He was laying there trying to get in the water, but other people would get in and they would get healed. And Jesus came up to this man and he asked them a question that I'm going to ask you this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? He asked this question to this man. Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you have a will to be healed? Will you be? In other words, there are some people that don't have a will to be healed. What am I saying? I'm saying they're not willing to get into the Word. They're not willing to stand on God's Word. They're not willing to come to church. They're not willing to get with God. They're not willing to get into the program. They just want an easy fix. But I'm going to say this, our Christian walk is not an easy fix. Our Christian walk, it's not going to come easy in your Christian walk. In other words, there's always going to be a struggle in our lives. There's going to be times where we're going to have to go through stress. We're going to have to go through to the prison to get to the palace. Jesus had to go through that agonizing time of praying to the Father, Lord, let this cup pass me up. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus got to a point where he just let go and let God.
Amen.
And you got to get to the point where you let go and let God. And God will take care of you, glory to God. The third key to soul prosperity, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. And this is a key place right here, your emotions. Sometimes children can't control their emotions. And sometimes as Christians, we have a hard time controlling our emotions. And we got to be careful. And if you're going to receive healing and you're going to prepare for healing, you got to get your emotional state right. Amen? In other words, you can't have an attitude and get your healing. You can't be angry and upset with God and give God ultimatums saying, God, you better heal me or else I won't go back to church. You better heal me or else I won't read my Bible anymore. You better heal. You can't give God ultimatums. Amen. You can't have an attitude in preparing for healing. You better change the attitude.
Yes.
Say, I'm changing my attitude. You see, you got to have a positive attitude. If you're going to come to God, you must come to God humbly. You must come to God thankfully. You must come to God in a way where God will have a delight in giving you what you desire. Notice this in Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So we see here that the part of soul prosperity, talking about our emotions, that we must have a positive attitude to receive. Some people, because they're being afflicted, get bitter. I'm going to say this, don't get bitter, get better. I'm going to say this, don't allow the hard times in your life to get you bitter. The devil wants you bitter. He wants you upset. He wants you angry. He wants you bitter over the circumstances. But don't get bitter, get better. Glory to God. And so we have to fight this bitterness. When we walk in bitterness, we're harboring a lot of times unforgiveness. And unforgiveness keeps us from receiving God's healing power. Amen. So the Bible says, give no place to the devil. See, the why we get afflicted is because we give place to the devil. And the Bible says, and this is how you don't give place to the devil. It says in Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Think about that. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgave you.
Amen.
Glory to God. So if you understand this, if you understand that if you get your soul prosperity, that you get your mind in line with God's word, that you get your will in line with God's will. You see, why would, if you're living in sin, but you repent and you get healed, but your thought life, I'm going back in a life of sin, why should God heal you to go back into a life of sin?
Amen.
In other words, God heals you to serve him. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
God heals you to serve him.
Yeah.
When people got healed, when blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible said that Jesus called him and he healed his eyes. And then the Bible said that blind Bartimaeus was not blind anymore. Amen. He wasn't blind Bartimaeus anymore. And the Bible said he followed Jesus from that point on. And so I'm saying to you today, there's a responsibility. I'm saying it this morning. When God does something great in your life, when he blesses you financially, when he heals your body, it's really, we should be reciprocating our love back to God. And we reciprocate it by living our life for God and not for ourselves. And when we get out of not living our life for ourselves and we start living our lives for God and we walk in a repentant state of heart where we're saying, God, help me to be more like you. Help me to walk like you. Help me to talk like you. I'm telling you, your soul will be prospering. And when your soul prospers, your body will be healed. Your bank accounts will be full. You'll have the blessings of God in your lives. Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're helping us to have soul prosperity. And I thank you, Father God, that you wish above all things that we may prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. prospers. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Oh, for those that are in the audience, those that are listening and watching, perhaps you've never received Jesus. Jesus is the first key for you to have soul prosperity. You must have a new heart. So this is the way you can do that, is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just pray this prayer after me and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.